there's a little Trojan horse today, you know, because Gerard was like, oh, here's a little fun, little Valentine's Day, little fun rom-com.
Swindle.
Swindle.
The swindle was real.
Swindle Pierce. That's what we're going to call it. When it this was a Swindle Pierce.
I mean, it was definitely a swindle.
Do you know this is based on a real book?
Oh, no. Like, that makes sense.
It's based on a book called Relationship Goals.
Yeah, the full title is Relationship Goals, How to Win at Dating, Marriage, and Sex.
You know what? Once the movie started, I figured this was based on a book. Like, literally when the movie started, I was like, oh, this has... In fact, anytime
but
a movie
it's
talks
based
about
on
rules,
like a... Sorry, just clarity before you continue. But it's based on like a how-to or like a
it's based on the book that they talk about in the movie. Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's like the book that they talk about in the movie is real, and the quotes that they're from the book are real, and the guy who wrote it is the real person who wrote it.
Oh, like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, sorry. Yes,
and the church that they go to is the real church.
It was like once they started listing stuff, and I'm seeing this pastor, this rich social media pastor pop up nonstop. It started feeling like what's that Steve Harvey book? Think Like a Man.
Think Like a Man.
This started feeling exactly like that, except for like the Christian version of Think Like a Man.
I haven't seen Think Like a Man in so long, but did that. Play like each scene was a different lesson?
Yeah. So basically, so it was kind of like this almost, to be honest. It's like at one point, I forgot, one of the women, they get the book. Steve Harvey, someone's watching TV. Steve Harvey is on there talking about the book. And then each woman takes a different lesson from, like, I think it's archetype. Mm-hmm. So it's like each woman takes on an archetype of a man that they're trying to like break. But they referenced the book. I think it literally at one point someone physically just holds up the book. Like they just hold it up.
Yeah. It's kind of like a commercial. And you know what? Maybe some people will watch this movie, then buy the book, and then post the picture of their loved one and say hashtag relationship goals. And it'll be a beautiful thing.
And there it is.
Let's start the show.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, let's start with that. Let's just start it. Let's just go ahead and start the show.
Jonathan Braylock.
James III.
Rob Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Black actors. All right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Thank you for your input. We have work in the morning.
Thank you for your input. We have work in the morning.
Honestly, was, great. In fact, great. My favorite line. But honestly, she had all line. My favorite lines.
Great line.
There is a line in this movie that I laughed out loud and thought it was one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my entire life. And I don't remember it, but I will. I know when we talk about this, I will eventually remember what was said, but it was one of the wildest things I've ever heard.
You don't expect a person to have said it, or what? Wild in what way? Do you even remember
it was
that?
Wild in the sense that like it was said like it was advice or said like it was something deep, and it was just the craziest thing I've ever heard.
You remember which character said it?
It was either Robin Thede or Annie Gonzalez. I don't know which one of them. It was one of the two friends.
I
will remember it. Anyway, but for those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome. We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. There are three of us that host this podcast. The voice that you are listening to now, that in 2012 would have 100% been reading this book and would have been like all over just being like, yes, that's right. Date with a purpose. Date with intention. That's Jonathan Braylock.
You were thinking that in 2012? Bray, you was out here hoeing. Don't do this. Bray, you was out here in the streets. So like, I'm not even.
Wait. Hold on.
You was out here hoeing.
First of all.
Yeah, I said what I said.
2012 is before 2014, which is when we met.
Which when I met you, you was in the streets.
I was going to say, this is not the period of time.
he was out here reading books about relationships. What?
Bray picked a specific year on purpose.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Bray must have read them books in 2012 and was like, nah, not for me.
And second of all, just like Method Man's character, you know, it's like, you know, you might not be, mm-hmm. you might be messing up, but you're trying to date with intention.
Yeah, the options are there. What was it that he said? He was like, I want to make sure that the person that I date is my future wife.
Right.
You know, it's like, so if we're dating, if I know I'm on this path with you, but.
And y'all remember the text message that popped up in the.
Correct.
In the middle of the car.
Yeah.
In the middle of the car.
You know, yes. He's like.
I sure do. This is that scene when he said this.
Yeah.
This is. Big Daddy, I miss you, Big Daddy.
You guys
Big
have
Daddy.
Not introduced yourselves at all.
Y'all know who this is.
Y'all here talking about some 2012. You know what I mean? This voice is that of Gerard Milligan.
This voice, who probably would have thought he needed to read a book like this, not in 2012. By then, I was far gone. But in maybe 2004, you know, post. I won't say what was going on in 2004, but at a specific time, high school is fine. I'm about to be 40. I don't care. 2004, leaving high school, going into college, I would have thought a book like this was necessary. That voice is James III.
You'd have thought that in high school.
Yeah, I had a long time girlfriend at the time who was very religious. I was also very religious at the time. And I am now far from that person in terms of my view of religious practice, but for myself, but yeah, at that time I would have been like, yep. And you, and I probably would have said some stuff like, hey, you are that person for me. I probably would have said stuff like that to her.
Wow. Okay,
probably
I
would have been
this.
On that path specifically at that time. Totally different now.
We are reviewing the film Relationship Goals. It's an Amazon Prime original, straight to video on demand. It stars Kelly Rowland and Cliff Method Man Smith. That's right. He used his full name.
He acting.
He out here. Also stars Robin Thede. Is it Thede or Thede?
Robin Thede.
It is Thede, right? Annie Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Matt Walsh is in this. Ryan Jamal Swain. And it is based off of this real book, Real Pastor. Like we said, currently 23% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. Interesting. I'm very intrigued by that as a
popcorn meter, though. Popcorn meter, 42%.
Okay. And okay. Also intriguing. I'm intrigued
still,
by both, frankly.
Still
both
rotten.
Intrigue me.
Still, yeah, still not great. Still not
still
great.
Still not good. Still rotten.
I find both reviews intriguing. That's all I'm gonna say.
There's obviously no box office for this. And yeah, this book came out in 2020. And the movie came out February 4th. So that's all there is to really say. It's about a... Well, I guess we could say the premise. It's about a high-powered, brilliant producer who wants to be the first woman to run a morning show, but her ex comes in to compete for the same position, and love ensues.
What's funny about this premise is that the premise is so interesting because Robin Thede was the first black woman to show run in late night. And so to have her
I didn't even think of that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. So to have her in this movie about a black woman who's trying to be a showrunner in daytime right. TV, I was like, oh, so interesting.
Yeah. And she was on camera presence in this movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was done purposeful. Maybe.
Yeah, potentially intentional.
there's a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5 where purpose and grit come together, where the American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever have. Tough because it asks so much of you to dig deeper, get your hands dirty.
To go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion and meet challenges head on. And the love part comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transformed lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries, learn about benefits, and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve.
Should we do?
I mean, I could do my initial thoughts.
Yeah, I got a lot to say.
You know, I did not enjoy this movie, but I will say, as a person who likes rom-coms, I like that it exists. And I mean that by, I can't think of just a, like, this movie feels like a, like those old, like, there's a Vivica Fox, Morris Chestnut movie where it's like a rom-com like this, and she's like talking to the camera. It's basically like the black version of like, you know, the main white rom-coms. Anyway, so I like that this exists. I will say I was thrown off by all the religious undertones of it. I think also when it comes to this particular pastor, that made me really feel weird about the movie too. Just I don't want to condemn this man, but like, you know, that kind of pastor is a very polarizing,
like the mega church,
very famous.
But him in particular, like literally him, like this guy in particular.
When you're on that platform, you're gonna get like, you're not gonna have universal, you're not gonna be universally beloved. But particularly, you know, when you're a pastor or a religious figure.
I will say this, it is the one tangent is the Drewski bit that deals with the three major pastors and including him when he's dressed as him and he's like, I'm wearing Louis Vuittons. And I'm wearing red bottoms because I'm marching in the blood of Christ.
I haven't seen that sketch.
I was like, the three major pastors.
So basically on social media is this guy, there's another older pastor who like has a rig where he flies into the audience. There's a video of this pastor, James.
God ain't telling nobody.
James, you gotta excite the people. So like Drewski's sketch that came out. Bro, that sketch
came out.
Are
these all like black pastors?
All black.
Is T.D. Jakes one of them or no?
So he doesn't make fun of T.D. Jakes in this video. It's the guy in this video. It's another old black man. And there's one more pastor. There's one part. Anyway, y'all watch it. Mm-hmm. If you go on TikTok, people like side by side how he copied the videos of like the real stuff they did. And it's just like, oh my God, these people did this. Also, I think the thing I struggle with too is that I do love a rom-com. I just don't think rom-coms have to be this silly. Sometimes I think if you look back at the classics of, you know, When Harry Met Sally, like, Notting Hill, they do have a lightness to them, but I think people are like taking them serious. Like, I like Method Man, so I'm not trying to get shanked by Method Man, but like Method Man was doing the most, like I feel like everybody was acting like we're in a TV rom-com, like from the head bobs to the, I mean, we literally had the queer best friend. Like Method Man spoke to no male at any point in this movie outside of the boss. Like he spoke to nobody. There was a dance number in the middle of this movie that served no actual purpose. Oh,
I liked the dance number.
It was fun, but I was like, I thought they were at least going to pop out and have people make fun of them. They just left. Like literally the scene, they just left.
I was expecting a pop out because that was what was funny about it. It was funny that there was nobody there. And so that was why they did it. Like, it was almost like, oh, this is, I haven't seen this before. And this is like, this is a funny take on a middle of the movie dance number, you know, but then they didn't have the pop out, which I think.
And it was so long. That scene was like 3 to 4 minutes. I was like, what is happening? But anyway, I'm happy it exists. It's not my cup of tea, but yeah, like I'm truly happy it's here.
Yeah, if you have a lot to say, Bray, I'll go quick and then I'll pass it to you. But yeah, I you know, this is not my favorite movie. I appreciate the attempt for sure. I thought that the talent was, I thought everybody was good. You know, I didn't, you know, I thought everybody did what they were supposed to do. I mentioned to the guys off mic, I auditioned for the assistant role. I was not expecting to get it. I thought this guy was great for what they were looking for. And yeah, and I think I'll use the dance number to talk about one of my biggest, I had two big issues with it. One is like that it just really felt like the movie was trying to teach me, and like, and I didn't remember that about Think Like a Man, but I never saw the sequel to Think Like a Man, and I wonder if that's potentially why. Maybe I didn't like the first Think Like a Man on the same level, but I didn't like that it felt like every scene was like a lesson rather than like just dropping me into this world and I can maybe like discern a lesson later. And then the other thing I didn't like was the humor felt like just kind of like undercooked and or reaching. Like I don't know if I agree 100% with what you were saying about like how like it like being slapsticky. Like I'm okay with a rom-com being slapsticky. I think that's okay. But I just thought that some of the stuff here like didn't quite have all the things it needed. Like the dance number not having the pop out of somebody being like, "Ladies, please," or whatever, or like people finally showing up and seeing them dancing in the middle or whatever, like any kind of pop out and having a comment on what we were just watching. Cause I thought that the idea, the setup of it, I thought was fun. And so there was just a lot of stuff like that. I did like the, you know, the friend group and like, and you know, and they were like, they were making me laugh and stuff like that. Oh, and then the last thing that just in general, on a personal level that bothered me, was I legitimately got the ick every time Robin Thede got mad at the guy being into basketball. Cause that was his career and he was retiring. Right. And like he's retiring from his career. And she kept saying, why is everything about basketball to you? And granted, maybe that was a problem, like it was getting in the way of them connecting. But like at the end, when they were trying to reconnect, she kept saying, "Why is it about basketball?" And it's like, well, basketball is a big part of this man's life. It was his career. He's retiring from it. I don't understand. Like it worked for me when they then made the joke of like, that better not be a championship ring. It was like, oh, that's yes, that's funny. You know, like that's making a joke out of it. But the other parts, I was like, I don't think I like how, like if that's the person you're spending your life with and they built their financial stability on playing this game. It's also
just their passion. I mean, the part you're talking about specifically, he said, like, since we've been separated, like I've been so depressed. I haven't been able
to eat. I can't play basketball.
I haven't been asleep. I can't even play basketball. And she's like, why is everything about basketball? And he's like, that's not what he said at all.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
It's actually not what he said at all. He's telling you all the things that he can't do because he's sad, and she took it a completely other direction. Yeah.
Well, also, this movie was very like, you know, I'm not gonna lie to you. I thought this movie going into it, because I didn't watch the trailer or anything like that, I thought it was gonna be more balanced. Like I thought it would be like maybe Method Man and his friends, and then like Carrie Rowland and her friends. I thought it would be more of a balanced film. But low key, this movie was just like minute and shit real quick.
Not and, low key.
Like it was just like, I mean,
no, it was very geared towards women. Yes, 100%. It was very, but at the same time, okay.
Yeah, no, I am done. So if you want to,
this movie, like I also did not like it. I don't think I can say I'm happy it exists because I feel like. Okay. I come from this world and so I sometimes I feel like I want to defend like this kind of, or I should say I don't come from this world, like this is a specific type, but I went to Hillsong though. So like Hillsong is about this in a way. Our pastor didn't like write a best-selling you know, book that was like New York Times bestseller or anything like that. But like these like super famous pastors who like give advice, and then like, and then we hear the advice. Like, I think that my biggest gripe with this movie is like, it is the thing that Kelly Rowland accuses Method Man of doing when they do the interview. Like, this whole movie is that. It's like, mm-hmm. doesn't go deep at all, doesn't challenge the source material, doesn't explore it in any way. Like, all the advice it gives is so basic. And like, one of the things in Christian culture that is so frustrating about advice that people give dating is like, you have so many of these pastors, because it's considered a good thing that people like married their high school sweetheart. Like,
why is that a good thing?
Thank you, Jira. I don't know
why,
but like, that's what's because you know why they think it's a good thing, because there's like there's a presumed innocence attached to it, and there's also this like understanding of like, I wasn't going around sleeping with a bunch of people, like I married like my first love, that kind of thing. But like, the reality is like, these people have absolutely no business giving other people relationship advice. Zero. Yeah. They have no experience in it. And like, when it's like, this guy was like, he's talking in the movie as himself being like, yeah, like I wasn't doing the right thing, blah, blah, blah. And like, we don't know what that is. And like, I remember our pastor before a scandal took him down would say the same thing. He would talk about like something in his past, but it was so obscure. Like it wasn't, he was just like, oh, like I let my wife down. And you're like, what does that mean? Like, did you cheat on her? Like, what did you do exactly? Like, they don't talk about what actually happens, and they paint everything with this broad brush of like, if you just focus on God and like, God will bring the person that you need into your life, and don't settle for less, you know, and they're giving people all of these things to follow. And yet you have, I mean, I remember like growing up in church, there was all of these lonely, like aging women who are listening to this thing. And then there's all these men who have to view women as like these like delicate flowers that you can't, you know what I mean? Like, if you start dating them, it better be with the intent to marry, which puts mm-hmm. so much pressure on relationships. And so then none of these relationships are healthy. Like, not none, I shouldn't say none, but like, so many of them aren't healthy. And it's why the divorce rate in the church is just as high as the divorce rate in the world. And yet,
yeah.
And yet they keep making stuff like this. Like, they keep making these things that they're like, they're not saying anything. Like, this dude being like, date with intention, like it's a big thing. The analogy of, what was it? What was the food? Chicken nuggets?
Yeah.
Bro, I was yeah. like, what are we doing?
Also, what, first off, Bray, go back to the world. In what world has any, I've never seen this, and I'm about to be a 40-year-old man. I've never seen somebody go and take a bunch of bites out of a chicken nugget
and put it back
in the basket.
It doesn't even work as a concept.
It's like, what are you saying,
what
bro?
Does that even mean?
Like, nigga, be better.
Like, you, because also it's also like any food is like a physical thing that you can completely consume and then it's not there anymore. So like, the idea that like your virginity or your like love or sex or any of that stuff is something that if you give some of it away, like it's gone like forever, and you only have like some finite amount of it to give out. It's a weird concept. I'm not even necessarily like railing against the concept of no sex before marriage. I'm just saying, like, which is a concept that I've fully believed in. Like, I'm just saying, like, if you are going to tell people that's what they need to do, then like, you need to get deeper into like how people are supposed to survive in this world, you know, where people aren't getting married at 13. Like, when the Bible was written, like, these people were getting married when they were teenagers. And you're asking like 35-year-old, 40, like, how old is Robin Thede supposed to be in this movie? Like, you're asking grown adults to be like, you can't, you can't have sex. You can't, like, the people that you date, like, what's this woman's name? I mean, hold on. I mean, maybe we should just get into it.
Yeah. And what even really does date with intention mean?
What does it mean?
Because does it mean with intent to marry, or does it mean my intention is to learn how I am with another person? Like, no, like what does your intention?
I think it's the intention is to marry. I think that's,
I think that's
like,
what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think this movie is like you either you're marrying this person or you're not. Because
which
not
is absurd.
Only is Robin Thede talking about it, but then low key, not low key. I don't know why I keep saying low key. But then Method Man, that's his whole thing. Like his whole thing is this is it. Which I understand. This is my thing. I understand being with someone for 3 years or something and saying, hey, where is this going? I think that's a legitimate conversation.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
100%.
Especially if you want it to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Especially. Right. So I understand that. I just think the thing about this movie that's so hard is that it feels like there's no... I think, Bray, you hit on this. It just doesn't feel realistic. It feels like it doesn't take in what modern dating looks like now. Like I will say, as a person, dating now look stressful because we live off of apps. Even Instagram, if you're not on a dating app, Instagram is your dating app. You're looking at the best version of this person. And the thing about it is we live in a world where there's always a new person.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Frankly, it feels like it needed to address, like I appreciated the text message scene that we've already talked about where, you know, she gets the big daddy text, blah, blah, blah. And so we learn like he actually is still kind of seeing someone here and there, but it doesn't refer to that as dating. Like apparently that is not dating to him. And like the movie doesn't dive into what that even means to him. If he is sort of going by this book, you know,
right.
what it means to have had a night with this person or a lunch with that person or whatever, like it refusing to explore that. And maybe the book does explore it a little bit more, you know.
I'm sure it explores it a little bit more, but the movie, anyway,
the thing is like it's so hard hitting because, you know, if we take it from like the top of it, and you know what it is, this movie plays in the tropes that, again, I'm not sure if it's in the book or if they added it for the movie. The fact that she has like a list, like this is a grown ass woman with a list of like what a man. And again, I wish we had a black woman on here because I'm like, a list sounds insane to have as a 40 something year old woman. No, or is that this movie? Tripping?
No. I mean, look, I do think like
I'm not
it's
sure.
It's a high.
I think people have.
I think it's a heightened version of like, what. Yeah, exactly. Like it's a heightened version of what I do think some people do like have in their mind. Like I want my person to be blah 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 blah. And it's not just women; men do that too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Seinfeld's whole running joke on Seinfeld was there's always like something wrong with the woman. Like, you know, whatever. But the thing that's annoying is like once again we have this very old annoying stereotype of a career businesswoman who has it all except she doesn't have a man, and everybody's looking at her like you need a man in your life, and she's like no I don't, and then of course the end of the movie is like yes I do, like oh my career isn't fulfilling, my life sucks, like I'm not complete and whole until I get married. And again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be married. There's nothing wrong with wanting a relationship. But I hate that it's like you have to like teach like, any woman who like values their career over relationship, there's something wrong with them and they're not being honest with themselves. The reality is they only want a man, right? Like it's just such an annoying stereotype. And it perpetuates this idea that like everybody needs to be in a relationship, which isn't even necessarily true.
And it's something about that conversation where I'm like, if you had three people, even if you take the assistant best friend, I'm like, one of them could have had that perspective, right? Like, I'm good. Like, I'm dating. I'm good.
Yeah.
What does that look like? And I guess that's not what this movie was about. It was supposed to be about Method Man and Kelly Rowland. Being in the, also, you know what it was? Is that Method Man in this movie started off the movie already fixed outside of that one text with the text. So we didn't see, like, the only combativeness in this movie was just Kelly Rowland being like, I don't trust him. Like, there was one scene I watched towards the end after they hooked up, and then she, like, kind of crashed out. And I go, this crash out is crazy. Like, this crash out, like, we've seen, because at that point, we've seen the we like each other montage. Right. Like, we've seen them gush over each other in public at this point. And to me, it's like, I do understand of like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done this. You're probably trying to trick me. But at no point in this movie, at that point, it was an hour and 5 minutes or hour and 10 minutes in. He shows you he was a different dude. Like, he took you to church.
Yes.
Like he didn't backslide. Again, he came there single. So like him getting a little risky text, that wasn't even a spicy text. If Big Daddy is the craziest text that man is getting, and you in the streets.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the whole movie
this,
is...
This brief window into Gerard's text message
history. I'm just saying, if the wildest text... I'm going to be truthfully honest. The thing I struggle with sometimes when it comes to Christian movies, when it deals with, like, sex and relationships, is that... It almost makes it seem like anything is bad. And if that's the stance, that's fine. I remember like Tyler Perry had that one movie where, oh my God, it had Kelly Rowland in it. It was a Kelly Rowland movie and-
Mia Culpa, the one we just watched.
And yes. And then when she's talking to him at the beginning of the movie, she goes, I heard you're a sexual deviant. You like to tie people up. And I was like, or handcuff him. I was like, wait, this is out of every kind of crazy thing you're saying about sex, like this is the- This is the sexual deviant part of it? Like, this is the thing?
Yeah.
I just feel like these movies aren't realistic. And like, I thought what was going to happen was, I thought when she said, you know, say the text message out loud, I thought it was about to be like wow. And I thought he was going to have, or like, it's accompanying a photo. I thought it was going to be something with Big Daddy. Big Daddy? Who even says Big Daddy for real?
But I feel like the issue with... It's so funny because I didn't even consider what you're saying because you are correct. The way that I read that scene was like, if somebody's calling him Big Daddy and it's a random person, then it just implies that anything
went on.
He's
still a player. That was the whole idea. Because he said I turned in my player card.
Yeah. But you're still dating. Like, my thing is this. Like, I it's hard because I think when you're dating somebody, say you're dating multiple people, those conversations get intimate and that doesn't like, so it'd be different if it was a montage of just like, you know, he went to a restaurant, ran into somebody. Oh my God. One Texas maid came through. This message is from Cindy. This message is from Keisha.
Yeah, yeah.
This message is from Lisa. I'm like, that's different. But one person.
Also, James, he said that I haven't spoken to that person in a long time. I actually don't think we were supposed to believe that he was doing anything wrong because the movie never apologizes for that or address. There's nothing that happens in the movie that is like the only thing that he apologizes for is like competing for
trying to do the job
with her, which is not a bad thing. And they know that the audience also knows that. So like, I will have to say this too, because I didn't say in my initial thoughts, like, I'm sorry. Zero chemistry between these two. Like, I was just like, every time they were like, whoa, what's going on between you two? I was like, you guys have to say this because I'm not seeing it. Like, yes, at certain points, moments, you're getting close to each other and you're like smiling or whatever. But I just felt like
you're the one I love. I was like, I don't believe this in the slightest.
Well, I do. So James, to that point, to what you and Bray are saying, I think that is what is like damned rom-coms. I think the thing is that they didn't need to ham anything up. I think Kelly went very much into, I'm a businesswoman, I don't like this man. And Method Man went into very much, I have to be extra charming. Like, he's smiling in almost every scene. Like,
he is.
Like, when he said that speech you're talking about, James, I thought it was a bit.
Yeah.
But like,
I think I can say this because I have liked Method Man in other movies he's been in, and he's also really funny. Like, I did not like him in this movie. Like, I didn't think he was good. Like, it didn't.
I can't confirm that because I'm scared of Method Man, and I just feel like he'd be like, I'm scared of the M-E-T-H-O-D, man. That nigga big as hell.
I just didn't like it. Just for whatever reason, like, I didn't feel. I didn't feel his attraction to Kelly Rowland much. Like, I felt like everything felt like by the numbers. Like, it, it, you know, basically what you were kind of saying, Jarov, like he's smiling a lot, like every, like the jokes weren't really landing the right way. And like the moments where he was trying to be like romantic and sexy was just like, okay, like, cause the mea culpa thing, like for as crazy as a movie that,
yeah,
that was, I did think that like they had sexual, or was it, yeah, my fault or whatever?
No,
I do agree, but I also think you have Black. Sorry, I need to look up this actor's name. I also think he played it differently. I think, and again, I think that's the issue with a rom-com. I want to say maybe they were directed to perform in that way where it was very heightened, was very like big. I mean, bro, at one point, I remember her and Method Man standing in the bullpen, and his head is just bobbing. Like, it's just bobbing. Right. Because he's trying to, like, deliver these, like, jokes and stuff. And I don't think you needed it. I think you just needed to show that they were in love and just let her friends be the funny ones. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, the montage of him singing the romantic songs and her getting to know... It felt... Like, I've never seen a Lifetime movie, but I was like, if... But I'm like, this felt like it would have been one. Lifetime
movie. Yeah. 100%. And everything felt forced, like...
Or okay, Hallmark, maybe.
Yeah,
yes, Hallmark.
Okay, Hallmark. By the way, speaking of it, like, okay, so we have three women and they all have problems, right, that the book needs to fix. Kelly Rowland is that she needs to, like, unpack... What I forgot what the phrase that they were saying, but, like, she needs to, like, unpack her old stuff so that she can pack in the new... or something like that. Like, and part of that was like letting go of her, or actually mourning her mom's death.
Which,
oh my God, there it is. Yes, I knew I would remember this.
What is it?
Okay. The dad says, oh no. Hold on, I'm trying to get exactly right. But they're talking, it's that it wasn't either of those. I was lying. It was Kelly Rowland who said it. The dad, they're having a conversation about the fact her mom died of, her mom died, and the dad was like, oh, come to the grave with me. I wish you would come to the grave with me, blah, blah, blah. And then he says something to her, like, he says something about God. I forgot what he says. No, he says something about love. Like, he's like, I know that you're so focused on your career, but I feel like you need love in your life. Like, you need love in your life. And she's like, you had love in your life, and then mom died of cancer.
Yeah.
I remember that. In the kitchen, I remember that. Or living room, I was in the kitchen. Like,
what does that have anything to do? What are we talking about?
Well, like, but she said what she was trying to say there, because that comes way late. You framed it as advice earlier, but she's saying it as like, I mean, you have to put all of this into it. It's not really there on screen. But she's saying, like, you know, why should I give myself to a person if I'm just going to lose them? Right. Like that's essentially what she's what they're trying to say. So like James, that has been motivating her this whole time. And we didn't realize it. You know,
that is a good movie, though. Like, to me,
yeah,
what you're saying right now, if we were going through this movie and we realized that, like, maybe, you know, after Method Man or before Method Man, like, someone she dated passed away and that was the guy. You know, right. And like now all of a sudden she escaped because
but it doesn't even have to be after. Understand. It doesn't even have to be after Method Man, in my opinion. It's like, it's that, like, the way that she treated Method Man, she never let him get close because she doesn't let anybody get close because why get close to people? You know what I mean? But they did not write that.
Really make sense, though, because her mom died like only a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so the Method Man thing happened before.
And, no, and it's to me, true. It's like, yeah, the, no, yeah, like the gravestone what said 2021. Yeah.
What are they even doing?
And what sucks is I think that's a really good story. Like, I understand that fear. When somebody that you care about gets sick, like, there is nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And so for me, it's like, that is such a relatable thing, but nothing in this movie touched on that. It was like,
it wasn't about that.
He cheated on me
right
20 years ago.
Exactly.
And
I haven't trust the man since. Yeah. That's literally what the movie was. Yeah. Like, he cheated on me 20 years ago. And since then, I've never dated men because I can't trust men.
Oh, and so then that's where the advice comes in. Because it's sort of like, essentially, she's like, relationships don't work at all. Look at you.
Look at you.
Mom just died of cancer a couple years ago.
if anything, look, the
look
mom should have cheated.
Just died after living most of her life.
It was literally like, I was like, well, yeah, everyone's going to die, honey. Like, I understand. Like, I understand she died like a little bit younger than she should have. Like, yeah. she was in her early 60s, and that sucks. But like, let's not pretend like he didn't get a bunch of years of marriage that was great with love. Like, what the hell are we talking about? What are you talking about? What a crazy thing to say. It made no sense. And I was just like, what are we? And it was also the first time that we heard that the mom died of cancer. And yeah. I was just like, what an insane way to give us this information in this scene.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense. Because to me, it's like, you had a cool chance. If the mom would have left because the mom cheated on the dad, she could have been like, well, you and mom were married for 30 years. And,
that would
you know,
be different.
That's different.
That would make sense.
I mean, even, I'm not going to lie, I struggled with a lot of the story. Like, the Robin Thede, I understand. So I do understand this. Matter of fact, there was just like a Times, someone did a report recently. It came out around Valentine's Day, and it was about people being scared to date because they didn't want to be the in-between partner. Meaning the partner that gets the person ready for the person they're going to marry. Mm-hmm. And it had all these examples of people who are like, we were together for 5 years and then the person went from this to this. And then a year later, they were engaged. And it was so many stories like that. And I've had that fear. And I even think if it was going to go, I think if you're going to have that Robin Thede storyline, I think you could have talked. Like, we didn't talk about anything. You could talk about what the fear of dating an athlete is. You know, like,
to me, the Robin Thede storyline was a very common. Like, I heard this a lot in both the church that I grew up in and Hillsong. This idea that like modern dating, you know, secular dating is not good because basically you are imitating all of the intimacy that you're supposed to only have in marriage, and therefore people are like they don't have to commit to you because you're giving them everything only a marriage is supposed to have, and therefore there's no need for them to marry you, right? You're having sex with them, you guys are living together, you're like doing everything a married couple will do but not marrying them. And so like that's why the book is telling her to be like, no, I'm not going to have sex with you anymore. I'm not going to live with you anymore. We need to be separate. And like, you have to court me, you know, if mm-hmm. you want to stay with me. Now, they've been living this way for so many years. And she says like, oh, I'll own. She says it really quickly in the beginning when she first tells him like, you know, I'll own this. Like, it was me. I pretended that I was okay with this, even though I wasn't. But now I'm not okay with it. And now I'm giving you an ultimatum. And it's like, well, that's not loving. And it's fine if you're like, hey, I'm actually not comfortable doing some of these things anymore. I'm going to start setting boundaries. Okay. But don't act like this guy is a bad guy because right. you want to do something now that you didn't say you needed or wanted from this relationship. And like, if you want to even say, if you're like, all of a sudden you go from 0 to 100 and you're like, I actually can't do any of this stuff until we get married. Okay. Set that boundary, but don't act like he's doing something messed up and like yell at him. Like that part of it, I was just like, this is guys.
Well, she tried to say, I think she even tried to say, I know I agreed to something I didn't like, so that's on me, mm-hmm. but this is where I'm at now. So my thing is, she said that
in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. So I understand if you give him that ultimatum, that's what it is. It's like now right. everybody's cars are out. You give him a chance to do a thing. I think what's hard about it is that his response was, hey, I'm worried about retiring. Can I just get through this season and then we can figure things out?
Right. Right.
For me, and maybe I don't know if this is a man mindset, but I'm like, to me, that sounded like a true response. Like, hey, I hear what you're going through. I am stressed the fuck out about who I am.
And it may also be a man thing, but yeah.
It could be, but I'm like, who I am as a person, as a man, is changing and will be changing soon. Like, it will be, think about it. If you're an athlete, like, we're all actors, comedians. Like, the moment one of us makes the big thing is like, right. and his whole life has been towards this. And I feel like it was never, I think I struggle with
movies.
She
didn't care about it at all. She didn't talk to him. She didn't help him with it. She wasn't like, yeah. At all. It was kind of just like, It was just like, either marry me or I'm not talking to you anymore.
What?
And so I struggle with the movie because of that. And I do understand we live in a world where, like, you know, I'm the best example I can give you is, as a Black person, I am trying my best to be aware of how much I will shade white men or white women when they complain about problems. Because I'm like, you still get to be white. I think we do live in a world where, like, it is almost easier to shade a man because he's a man, and men, you know, we have a certain kind of power. But watching this movie, it was tough for me because I'm like, I'm looking at these two dudes, all like literally lay their cards on the table, and the women they're speaking to just do not address it. Like in any way, shape, or form. Like, they don't address it. And it's like that one scene with the basketball player, it is passed over so quickly.
Yes.
Like, throughout the whole movie, Method Man is telling you how he's grown, how he's trying to do this, how he's trying to do that. And every single moment is undercut every time he says it. And I think until Method Man quits the job, does it, like, oh, you have changed. And even then is questioned. And I'm like, I don't know what you, like, I don't know how to show nuance and growth if it's okay to bash one, like, just because of they exist. Like, I don't know. I struggle with that kind of all or nothing, with like, all men suck, all Gen Z suck, all millennials suck. All, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a very tough thing.
Well, again, all of this stuff is dealing in like stereotypes, and you know, they all get together with these, those two get their men, and those relationships work in the end. And it's because they are committed to marriage and God, you know, that's what they say. But the problems in between, they don't work. It's like a movie makes it like, okay, and this works out like a movie. But that's I think a huge problem with modern relationships is that everybody consumes movies so much, they try to imitate movies. They try to think that their life and their relationship should be like a movie. You know what I mean? Like, they even like, they're giddy at the end of this movie is them literally being giddy and being like, I've seen rom-coms. You should run to, like, you got to run to him instead of being practical. Like, and I get it. It's a movie. It has to be entertaining. And yet at the same time, this is how people are consuming. This is how people get relationship advice. Right. Yep. And like, for a movie that wants to give relationship advice, to not talk about that, you know, like, I don't know if this pastor talked about that in his book. He should have, and it should have been in a movie. Like, it should be talking about, like, hey, like, you know, don't set unrealistic standards for your partner that you yourself could never live up to. Because that's a part of what people do when they look at these movies, especially these rom-coms that are geared towards women. They're like marketed to women. You know, and then that's part of the reason of like the men being bad and then like learning their ways and apologizing and then professing their undying love. I also thought it was crazy, by the way, that the other character, what was her name? Annie.
The best friend?
Yeah. The other friend, Therese? Therese? Is that how you say it? Anyway, Annie Gonzalez's character,
looks like.
So her dating life is a mess because she apparently dates like too many people. That this is what she says. She's like, oh, I date too many people. Like, the thing that she reads in the book is like, oh, she's the person who's just giving out her chicken nuggets and letting everybody touch them or whatever. And yet the only scene we see with her dating is she's sitting down with a very nice gentleman who says something about marathons, and she lies and says, I love marathons too. She doesn't. She goes, yeah, 40 miles, 60 miles, whatever. And this guy's like, oh, this woman's just lying to me right now. I'm going to pay for my drinks and leave. And he goes, sir, and now go, like, now, was that a nice thing to do? No. He could have just, we live in a world where people don't like conflict. And so we have ghosting and like something like this, or just like, leaving. It's not nice. And yet at the same time, it is a first date. And the reason he left is because you were just lying. And we don't address that at all in the movie. It's never her problem. It's just that she's dating too many people. And it's like, how about her problem is she's not being herself or truthful or honest with the people she's dating. Like, what?
Yeah.
We didn't see the fact that she's just dating too many people or giving herself over to just anybody, you know? I do like, I will say this, and I agree with this kind of advice. I do think people should be honest, and this is like the Robin Thede thing too, honest about what they want. I think in dating app culture, people are not honest about what they want, and women especially, because they're, you know, society kind of teaches them that this is what they should be doing, of being like, you need to be a go with the flow chick or whatever. And so they're like, oh, I'm not looking for anything serious, but they are looking for something serious. And mm-hmm. so you do get in these kind of situations where people are having sex early, even though they don't really want to. And then and then certain expectations come with that. And yet all of these things are unwritten rules. And so people get upset and people feel like they were taken advantage of, even though they actually didn't say, like, this is my expectations for if we're going to go this far, that this is what I expect from you or whatever, any of that stuff. You know, I think I've said this before, but like one of the things that when I first started dating Tessa that like made me feel like, oh, this is a different type of person was like, she was like, oh, just so you know, like I'm dating other people right now. And I was like, oh, which up until that point, literally no one had ever said that, even though mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. Other people I had gone on dates with were also dating multiple people. But it was just like, it just was like, oh, this is somebody who's just like upfront, like not embarrassed about it or whatever. And just like wants to be honest about what's happening. And that was like a quality of person that just felt so different than what I was used to. And even what I myself was, you know? So like, I do think that's good advice. Like that little montage of her being like, hey, this is what I want from the relationship. And all of the men being like, not for me, I'm out. I was like, mm-hmm. this is beautiful. There was a part that was played, that had to be played for comedy. But like, I was like, oh, I hope people take what is happening here as like a good thing. It's good that she's saying this is what I want. And it's good that the men are like, great, if that's what you want, that sounds great for you. And it's not what I want. And so I'm not like, let's not continue this. Perfect. You know, and I love that they threw in a polyamorous person, even though they were making fun of them. I still thought that was cool too, because it was like, mm-hmm. this person was like, hey, I'm all about that. I'm all about love intentions and blah, 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 blah. I just do it with multiple people. And she's like, oh, well, that's not for me. Great. You know, like that part I thought was like the healthiest part of the film. But then that doesn't go anywhere. I was actually so disappointed that they like, they wind up doing this other scene that made no sense, like her bringing home the gay assistant to her family and pretending it was a boyfriend. Right. I was like, what is this? Like, we haven't heard anything about her family. Like, this is so random.
Like, it'd be different if, like, we had a phone call with the mom and the mom was like, someone was pressuring her or something. Right. And it was like, it felt like, even when she gets home and talks to the mom, who, by the way, that's your mama.
Yeah, I know.
At one point, I was like, she said mom. And I was like, is that your mom or your sister? Like, I was very confused for a certain point. Wait, was it the mom or was it the sister? It was the mom.
That was the mom. It was the mom.
Was the mom. Okay. All right.
But was it?
But then to me, all of this stuff that y'all are talking about too made it feel like at the end when she named her dog boyfriend, that made me go, I don't think this is necessarily good, right? Like
correct.
It's good that she's like accepting that she's like, I don't want to be with anybody right now. And I also think it would be perfectly fine for someone to name their pet boyfriend. But given what they showed us on screen, it was like, no, this is sort of implying an obsession with an idea that I don't think she has fully figured out for herself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Were we supposed mm-hmm. to set up, were we supposed to believe that she was actually okay with not dating anybody and she didn't want to date anyone? Or are we supposed to think that she was like, I have decided not to date anybody unless like our goals are aligned and they also see this as an intentional dating that is going to lead to marriage?
Yeah. I thought it was the former, that she thought that she was fine by herself and did not want to date anyone. But then she also had a pet named boyfriend. Which, again, I don't have a problem with separately, but the ingredients that I've now been looking at makes me think a specific thing about this person.
Yeah, I guess I like if that I didn't buy it because I she was just somebody who was like talking about like she kept talking about Method Man, how attractive he was and other but you know yeah. like, I wasn't buying the fact that she like
but same the only relationship arc I bought the whole movie was Robin Thede and
right.
and her man.
Yeah.
That was the only one I bought.
Yeah.
The other ones the everything that I saw made me think something else was going to happen at the end and they were like actually it's this and I'm like what? Like if she would have found somebody and then Kelly Rowland would have been like I'm not going to date anyone. I'm fine. That would have made more sense to me with what the movie was.
Yeah.
But but instead they showed the other thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what else to say about this movie. We knew how this movie was going to end.
I mean, it follows the basic beats. It's like it's so the other thing that was so freaking annoying and stupid was like they do this interview, you know, there's a, you know, relatively amusing fighting happening in the booth on the microphone. Rami Thede has to take out her earpiece because they're fighting about how to give this interview. Method Man is like, you know, we don't want to grill this person. This isn't, you know, whatever. I forgot what he called it, 60 minutes or whatever the hell. And then like she's like, this shouldn't be a puff piece, which is ironically what the movie is. but then like then we like get into like the editing bay and they're like giving the editor notes. And I literally was like, I'm sorry, how many notes could you possibly be getting this editor off a freaking interview? Like I just don't believe that there was like that much to freaking edit. But then of course we get this thing of like, I have notes. I have a set of notes. And she's like, I have a set of notes. And then they're like, they're probably contradictory. And then later the editor is like, they were actually complimentary. they both go together. Bro, I was like,
stop it, bro. Like, it's so funny. I've been in edits like that. I've been in one edit where there's a very famous couple who own, I won't say their name because I don't want them to be mad at me.
But I know exactly who you're talking about.
There's a very famous couple. And like the husband comes in. He gives notes. He leaves. His wife comes in and his wife has like the opposite notes and her notes are drastically better. And then we're sitting in the edit and then she leaves. And then the editor and I go, well, who do we listen to? Cause you're at that point where like that stuff does happen. I think the hardest part for me is like when they started liking each other and now they're just openly flirting and just all behind the edit. I was like, first of all, this is an HR. Like this.
Yeah.
And then this is my thing.
But also like, why? Like why in that moment did they all of a sudden, why did she finally just drop her guard? It didn't make any sense. There was nothing happening in that moment that made, it just was like the movie needed it to happen then.
Yeah. And that's the point when it gets to the end and they had that big blow up. I'm like, there's been 30 to 40 minutes of you guys actually liking each other. We have seen it. Like we have seen it. If this was like a courtship, the courting has happened. You know what I mean? So like to me, it's like you knew, but I'm like, y'all are in it the moment this man leans to you and then you lean the rest. Will Smith taught me in Hitch, you go 90, she comes 10. Right. And when you watch that scene, Method Man leans in and then she comes right face to face. And I'm like, bro, what are we? Look at Notting Hill, man. Do people not know what? Look at Notting Hill, all right? Which is one, to me, a rom-com that does it perfectly.
Would you look at Notting Hill?
It's funny, but it's stakes. It's stakes.
Well, not every movie can be one of the best.
What does, give me Brown Sugar. Brown Sugar, I think, plays
people are going to say, you were just here talking about Notting Hill. People are going to say Brown Sugar is people are going to say Brown Sugar is one of the best rom-coms.
That's my point. I'm like, Brown Sugar does it well because I feel like Brown Sugar is a better comp because Brown Sugar does have funny moments, but there are stakes and people play it real. Like his wife cheats on him. What are we celebrating tonight? My divorce. And then Sanaa doesn't know. She doesn't know. So now she's in the awkward spot. and we're playing things real, even.
Anyway, so yeah, but they, you know, everybody winds up together. She also gets him frisked by like the TSA, which was dangerous and crazy.
I know.
That happened to me in December.
I liked that.
In November. That happened to me in October. I got frisked at the airport.
I was mad that I was like, that is funny.
I don't like that.
Especially because it's like she essentially got him assaulted. You know?
Yeah, I don't like it.
For no reason. But I was like, how else is she going to get him out?
I don't like it.
She could have just said,
it's like,
hey,
it's not funny.
He literally was right there. She could have been like, hey, I need to
talk. She could have just stopped him.
And he would have been like, oh yeah, I can just come here. I'll just duck under this little rope.
I'll step out of line and I'll
just step out of line and come right.
He hadn't even gone through the security yet.
No.
So,
he was just in the line. Hey. Text them. I'm going to head to jail. I love that the way that they got over the texting stuff is just them being like, no, you got to follow the rom-com. You got to follow the rom-com troop. You can't just text them.
I hate it.
I was like, okay. Jeez Louise. I thought this movie was painfully unfunny at times.
Painfully unfunny.
I was just like, it's just... Guys, this movie was only an hour 32, and at an hour, I had to stop because I was I need a break. I need a break.
I stopped at 105. I stopped at 105, and I was like, how much is left?
For the thing that Gerard's saying about how everything was played so big or like played for jokes, it is a shame that it was so not funny for them to all be kind of delivering it like it's, you know, the Big Bang Theory, but without the laugh.
Can I say, and I'm sorry, because if this person was listening to this podcast, they certainly stopped. They certainly stopped by now. But Ryan Swain, who played the assistant, I thought he was so good.
Are you kidding?
I thought he was so funny. And he was the only person who, like, every time he came up on screen, I was like happy to see him.
He was great. Genuinely, when it started, because I have already mentioned the audition for this part, when it started and he's speaking his lines, I was like, this is so authentic and real and funny and like, and you just believe everything he said. And then at the end, the assistant thing, that was one of the audition scenes that crushed.
It was perfect. Yeah. And also, like, he did the thing, like them, like doing the little like movements together, like all of that other stuff that was in the movie, I thought was so corny. But like when he did it with Kelly, I was like, this is really fun. Like I believed it. I believed it. I thought like it was fun. Like so he really knocked it out of the park.
100%.
So hopefully
we'll cut this out. We'll move this early.
We'll use this as the clip.
Yeah.
Just use this as a clip. Ryan was freaking, he was great as Roland. Crushed it.
Yeah, he did great.
Anyway, I got nothing else to say.
Thank God.
I had very little to say, period. So here we are.
I know. Right.
Lord, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it. It's whether or not it helps the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. So if it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
Oh, man.
This is the integrity of the cause rating. This isn't Rotten Tomatoes. Do you want to post your little rotten score? You go on RT.
That's so funny. I literally had that same feeling of like, shit.
We realized at the same time.
All right. On the count of three. One. Two. Three.
No break. No, y'all.
Two black fists and one white palm.
I
mean,
okay, I gave it a palm because I'm not going to lie. I was about to give it nothing. All right. but the movie exists. Yeah. That's all I got.
I almost gave it a palm too. But I wasn't going to give it nothing. But I almost gave it a palm too. The ratings are low. But I think Robin Thede having a part that large in a film, plus, you know, the guy we were just talking about, who I haven't seen anything. I don't have his IMDb up. But he might be doing other stuff. But I think that specifically, that alone is pretty significant. And then, you know, it obviously has Kelly and Method Man in the lead. And Method Man doesn't lead a lot of movies like that. I mean, he's in a ton of movies and he's been acting forever. But he doesn't, like, you know, it's not like and Method Man or Method Man is top billed a ton either. So, you know, so for the two of them, I think that that's great too. And I think, you know, for every issue that we had with the subject matter of the, like, what the lessons of the book were, I think that, like, these types of adaptations and things are, it's like doing more stuff like that will also further build, more black actors in Hollywood and build the sort of the infrastructure necessary for, you know, because this person getting one movie made based off of their book means they could make more movies based off their book, which could mean more black actors.
I agree. And that's why I gave this movie that I truly do not like and think is really, really bad on like on a multitude of levels. Skits a Black Fist, because it's wild. Kelly Rowland is having a renaissance for short-lived acting career, and now all of a sudden I'm just like, she might be leading more things. You got Method Man, and then I do think people watch this, like, even if they didn't love it, and I think it, like, a lot, like, it means other black actors can get leads in movies. Like, I don't know. Sometimes movies don't need to be good. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Instagram and Threads. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where we have links to our Patreon and Red Circle. $5 a month and you get bonus episodes every other week. It helps keep this podcast free. So thank you guys so much for all of our Patreon Red Circle subscribers. There's a discount if you sign up for a year. You get 20% off. So check it out. There's a lot there to listen to. Like, we just reviewed Goat, the new animated film produced by Steph Curry.
Is it number one? Is it number one this week?
No, it was... Oh, this week.
This weekend.
Oh, interesting. I don't know. Did Wuthering Heights drop?
Yeah, I think...
Because it was number two last weekend. It's opening weekend. You're right. It's number one. It beat
number
out
one, baby. Yeah. Number one, baby. Yeah.
Number one.
Y'all should have cast a black dude.
Which we
in
said we did say this because animated films tend to have a lower drop. Wuthering Heights had a 56% drop and Goat had a 37% drop. So it is now number one, 58 million. I can only imagine two. Number three. That's a Christian movie.
Hey. I can only imagine.
Let's go. Is this is this Christ's resurrection? Is that what this
we're starting? Is, I mean, we're in Lent, right? We're in Lent season.
Yeah, we are in Lent.
This might very well be the resurrection.
And you can follow me at John Braylock. www.johnbraylock.com is my website. Got links to classes. Got links to shows. So check that out.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. And I have a bunch of dates that I'm going to rattle off real quick. First, if you are in North Carolina, Day of the Dad is playing at Nevermore Film Festival, February 28th and March 1st. I am going to be at Blurred Con in DC, March 6th through 8th. And then I'll be performing with Connor Ratliff at Imposters Theater in Cleveland, March 14th and 15th. And then Day of the Dad will be playing in Cincinnati, March 21st. March 21st in LA, you can catch me and Bray and some other members of Astronomy Club at the UCB Theater. That is also live streamed, that show, RIPDEI. And then April 3rd, that weekend, the Easter weekend, I think, I'll be in Boston for Comics in Color. So if you are in any of those places and have any interest in seeing any of those things, please come check it out.
Love. You can follow me at Dra Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. On March, where is it? Why is the date not?
I think you said 17th to me.
No, there's another one.
You're talking about something else.
I am wrong. Yep. I am doing bad. Okay. So myself and Carl Foreman are doing a show, which is basically like kind of stand-ups versus character actors. It's called The Switch Up. Our first show is going to be at the Hit Theater on Saturday, March 9th at 9. I just got the link, so I'll put that up in my bio. But that's, if you're in LA, March 9th, Hit Theater. We got some dope stand-up, some dope character actors, and it's going to be super fun at 9 p.m. Bring your boo, bring your bae, come get a drink. If you're in New York, on March 17th at 9 p.m., I am doing the JFL New Faces Showcase in Midtown. You can go on the New York Comedy Club to get tickets.
Pack the house. Day.
Please, it is literally
pack
hours,
the house.
Hours before I turn 40, so I probably will be on stage when I'm 40. And after that, I will be extremely lit. So come have a good time, because I can tell you this right now, no matter what, I will. and those are the shows I got mapped out. Oh, also, there's an open mic I am hosting in Los Angeles on March 11th at Who Goes There. That's the name
is
of the theater.
Stand up?
You can do stand up. You can do spoken words. You can do music. You can do characters. We had a freaking magician in there. You can do whatever. You get 5 minutes, baby. So come. Do your act, test some stuff out, have fun. That's all I got.
All right. That's it, right? That's everything.
Yeah, that's it. All right, y'all. That was fun. See y'all later. Peace.